This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه التيمم في تنعله وترجله وطهوره وفي شأنه كله. متفق عليه. Narrated Aisha رضي الله عنها, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم loved to begin with the right while putting on his shoes, combing his hair, in his purification and in all of his affairs. Agreed upon.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Still the author رحمه الله تعالى mentioning some of سنن الوضوء, من مستحبات الوضوء, some of the recommended thing in وضوء. And here he mentioned the issue of starting with the right side, with the right hand, with the right foot. Basically, and he based this on hadith عائشة رضي الله عنها, كان يعجبه التيمم في تنعله وترجله وطهوره وفي شأنه كله. متفق عليه. That he loved to begin with the right while putting on his shoes, combing his hair, and in his purification, in all of his affairs, صلى الله عليه وسلم. كان يعجبه التيمم. التيمم, it means the right side. تأتي من اليمين, and it was called يمين تفاؤلا. Adds a sense of optimism, من اليمن يعني البركة, something good, something great. And in the Arab culture, they used to consider everything in the right side as something blessed and something good. That's why no doubt that the right side is better than the left side, commonly speaking. And because of that, Allah called the people of Jannah Ahlul Yameen, Ashabul Yameen, the people of the right side. And he called Ahlul Shimal, the people of hellfire. So he gave him the side of the shima. That's why في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعن يمين الرحمن وعن شماله وكلتا يديه يمين. That even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he has two hands or the sides of the right side and the left side, then he said, and the left is yameen for Allah. Not because both in the right side, no, but even the left side is also as blessed as the right. It's not like us. Our left hand is, and many people are weaker than the right hand. Or if the left hand dominates, it will be stronger than the right. That's not the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all his attributes are completely perfect. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم loves to start with the right side. يعني if it is something that is made of two things. Like what? Like basically, you wash your hand. You don't wash your both hand at the same time. You have to start one of them, like feet, okay? Like, so when he starts with something like that, this pair of something, he will start with the right side, then follow it with the left. Putting shoes, putting socks. طيب, question. Have you thought about it when you put your jacket? Also, the sunnah is to start with the right hand before the left hand. في شأنه كل, in everything. Also, one of the sunnah that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he was shaving his head in Hajj, قال للحلاق احلق اليمين. When you shave the head, you basically you start shaving the right side, then you followed by the left side. Can you think of anything else that you start with the right, then you followed with the left? Putting your pants on, you start with the right side. Putting your socks, okay? So this is whenever you have two things, you're gonna follow one after another. You start with one with the right before the left. And also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put the right side forward in the things that he even interact with, and because it's culturally, that's how the respect is. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, and it is also Islamically, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الشيطان يأخذ ويعطي بشماله. الشيطان gives and takes with his left hand. So that's why the Muslim is recommended to give and take with his right hand. You don't use the left hand to give or take. You should give with the right and take with the right hand. Unless يعني, you are busy, you can't do it. Also, الأكل, eating and drinking. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that الشيطان eats and drinks with his left hand. So the mu'min encouraged to eat and drink with his right hand or her right hand. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to shake people's hand with the right hand, not with the left. كان يصافح بيمينه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also in his في ترجله, يعني fixing his hair, combing his hair, so he fixed the right side or braid the right side, then go to the left side, because in the old days they used to braid their hair because it is long. والترجل يأتي من المرجل, والمرجل هو المشط. يقال للمشط مرجل, والمرجل also الإناء الذي يوضع فيه الماء ويوقد عليه. والتنعل يعني wearing the shoes, okay, من السنة. And من السنة also when you put your shoes on, like when you go here to the shoe rack, make sure that it's a sunnah to put the right before the left. If somebody can say me or tell me, Sheikh, is it also from the sunnah when you put your shoes is to be sitting down? We say yes. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you put your shoes, you put it down. You sit, you're doing while you're sitting down. Why? Be careful. Because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his time, the shoes are not like our shoes today. In the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time, the shoes has a stripe that goes from behind the ankle, then you tied it around your feet. So in order for you to get that stripe around the foot and to tie it, what that means, what that needs, either to bend completely or to be balanced on one foot, and all this are not appropriate position. Especially people moving, coming out from the masjid or on the road. So it's not safe. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do this while you are sitting, so you will not put yourself in harm or others, or you be in not an appropriate position. But if you can put shoes, mashallah, Muhammad, I see him all the time, put his shoes in 1 second, he's out. You know, or Abu Muhammad, jazallah khair, he put his shoes and get out. There is nothing like no traffic, no position that is not appropriate or anything of that nature. So we say in this case, you are allowed to do it while you're standing. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, use also to do the same thing when it comes to the wudu and in any other matters. Entering the masjid, he entered with the right side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Entering the house, he will go with the right side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا كَانَ بِضُدِّ الْأَفْضَلِ تَيَاسَرَ فِيهِ. Anything that the opposite of the best, he will use the left. So he will blow his nose with the left. He clean himself with the left hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? لذلك قال الإمام النووي وابن دقيق العيد من الشافعية. The Nawawi and the great two great Shafi scholars, they said, we can make qiyas, analogy on this. So they made qiyas on anything else that it has two things. One is positive and the other one is kind of negative. Okay? It's kind of less than the first. So the one, the positive, is to do it with the right, the negative or the less, you do it with the left. And they said the concept took in from some of the hadith. They said, for example, when he entered the masjid, he entered with the right foot. But the Prophet ﷺ, when he leave the masjid, he start with the left. Because getting out of the masjid is not as good as entering the masjid. Okay? So they said the same thing. I know, some people go to the house with the left and leave with the right. No, it should be the other way around. You enter the house with the right and you leave with the left. Because it should be less. Okay? What else? Entering to your store. Entering to your place, inshallah, you optimistic that this will be yumni, will be barakah, will be good. Also, they said taking off the cloth. Even there is no nas, there is no hadith. So since he put it on with the right side first, when you take off your shirt, you take the left first, then the right. Okay? So they said also like cleaning, brushing your teeth to clean your mouth. They said you start with the left side, then you follow it with the right side. Okay? Because it's cleaning. But for me, I always have a problem with this because in ghusl, when you take a shower, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do the right side before the left side as well. But you might say in ghusl al-janaba, it's actually a ibadah, an act of worship. It's a good thing because it transfers you from the state of janaba to the state of purity. So it's a good thing. That's why you start with the right side. But the basically brushing your teeth is not the same. كانت اليسرى لخلائه وما كان من أذى صلى الله عليه وسلم. عائشة said his left hand is for the خلاء, for cleaning himself after he urinate or go into the filth, and anything that it is not of a positive meaning. As for the part that is only one single part, use both hands. يعني he both hands to wash his face. Both hands to wipe over his head, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Doing your right hand first, or the right side first, is sunnah by the agreement of all the ulama. Even Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, and Ibn Abdul Barr, and Ibn al-Mundir, and Imam al-Nawawi, they all said there is ijma', there is agreement between the scholars on this issue. Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anh, when he was told that Abu Hurairah, radiyallahu anh, made once wudu and he started with his left hand. Abu Hurairah made the wudu and he started with the left hand. قال علي بن أبي طالب, he was asked, what do you think? فقال لا أبالي بأي أعضاء بدأت إذا أتممت الوضوء. I don't care which one I start with as long as I make my wudu perfect. Which shows you that right side is what? Sunnah, is not must. Got it? Same thing, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was asked about a man who starts with his left hand, not right hand. He said, la ba's, nothing, no harm. One of the benefits of this hadith is to learn that using the right hand is highly recommended. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved that, and he recommended that for us, but it's not wajib, Allahu a'lam. It's not must. It is highly recommended to eat, to drink, to give, and to take with the right hand. But it is not an obligation, not wajib. It's not a sin to do with the other hand. One of the benefit from this hadith, in my opinion, أن الإنسان يستحضر النية في كل أعماله الصغيرة والكبيرة. It's a very beneficial. This hadith make you aware and make your intention, ready. And you're aware of your intention in every single small thing that you do. Even taking your clothes off, putting it on, walking to your house, getting out of your house, getting into the car, getting out the car. And you put the right hand, right foot first. And in your mind, this is basically what? So Allah bless my ride, bless my car, bless my trip. Bless my walk into my work. All this make you always aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aware of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also make all your life, even the smallest things like how to brush your hair or to, do things, small things like this, it make you feel that you shall get the ajr for following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, this shows that Islam cares about appearance. Okay, Islam cares about your appearance and how you take care of your hair, take care of your look, and so forth. What about left-hand people? Left-hand people, what they do? They're going to hell. No, a'udhu billah. No. Left-hand people, there's nothing wrong with that or nothing less with that or not touched by the shaitan. Somebody was telling me, is it true that babies touched by the shaitan, that's why they're left-handed? I said, no, they're smart. So left-handed people usually are basically smarter than others. Okay. So this has just died out on me, but no problem. So this is another benefit from the hadith that we learn that it is left-handed people is not going against the sin of the Prophet ﷺ, but they should try to give and to take with the right hand. Even if you're left-handed, you still can give and take, eat and drink with your right hand. But for writing or like dominating hand, that's fine. There is nothing wrong with that, inshallah, and it's not a sin. Yes, next hadith. So I can read that hadith.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا توضعتم فابدأوا بميامينكم أخرجه الأربعة وصحح ابن خزيمة. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you perform the wudu, begin with your right limbs. Reported by the four and graded Sahih by Ibn Khuzaymah.
Yes, the same thing. Nothing new in the hadith.
وعن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ ومسح بناصيته وعلى العمامة والخفين أخرجه مسلم. Narrated المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم performed the wudu and passed wet hands over his forelocks, over his turban, and over the two leather socks, reported by Muslim.
This hadith al-Mughirah ibn Shu'bah, talking about the issue of wiping over the turban. And I remember we talked about that. But this hadith, if you remember, was the base for the Hanafis, who said that you must, it is sufficient for the person to wipe over part of his head and that over her hair, and it's sufficient to basically wipe over part of your hair, and it will be sufficient for you. And one of their evidence, they said, that the Nabi Sallam only wipe over basically his, what he call it in Nasiyah?
Forelocks.
This is the forelocks. So the forelocks, he wipe over the forelocks, then he continue over the imam. And the Hanafi, this is their main evidence to say that you don't have to wipe the whole entire head. Part of it will be sufficient. And also the Shafi'i agreed with them on that. But the Hanabila said, actually this hadith is against you. Because if it was sufficient to do partial or part of the hair, why would the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continue over the imamah? He would have just did the basically that part of his head. What did it call again? Four locks. The four locks. And would be sufficient. Why would he go over the imamah? He did over the imamah لِأَنَّ الْأَصَلْ هُوَ تَعْمِيمِ الْمَسْحِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ. He asked us to wipe over our head. And by the way, listen carefully. I said تَعْمِيمُ الْمَسْحِ, over the head, not the whole entire head. Yani, nobody ever said that you have to ensure that every single hair in your head has to be wiped over. Nobody said that. But they said the majority of your head. Because if you have to ensure every hair that you go over or the water touch it, that will not, you don't need to wipe. You need what? Wash. Allah yafta alayk. أنت تحتاج إلى الغسل وليس إلى المسح. To wash your head. And that's not the hadith. So that's why even if there is part here you didn't touch, or all the way here, or maybe between your fingers you didn't reach out, it's okay. That's the Hanabila versus the Jumhur. The Jumhur said no, even partially, the Shafi'iyya, the Ahnaf, the Malikis as well. This hadith also talk about wiping over the imama, the turban. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wiped over parts of his head, and he did the rest of his hair by wiping over the imama. Al-imama huwa ma yu'tammu bih. Al-imama, it is what basically cover your head. That's why came in hadith Ma'di Karb, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam masaha fawqa al-khimar wal-khuf, that he wiped over his khimar and his khuf. And al-khimar, we know for women, khimar. What al-khimar for women is the scarf. Why we call it khimar? Because it covered her head. So also the imamah called for men khimar, but it's not a common use, okay? And wiping over the imamah came in many ahadith also في في الصحيح أن بلال رضي الله عنه قال مسح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوق عمامته that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم wiped over his إمامة وهو في سنن أبي داود والترمذي والنسائي ورواه البيهقي بإسناد صحيح it's reported by أبي داود and النسائي and الترمذي and البيهقي and it's authentic narration also as well that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم once في ليلة شديدة البرد قال للصحابة امسحوا على عصائبكم وامسحوا على أخفافكم he said صلى الله عليه وسلم in a cold night wipe over your عصابة العصابة is the thing that you basically put it above your head it's the turban and also over your socks or your shoes your خف so the concept of wiping over the imama is well established. بل قال العلماء كالإمام أحمد مثلا وغيره قال the scholars said like الإمام أحمد and others they said the sunnah in wiping over the imama came in the following wiping over the head came in three different ways. مسح على الرأس فقط you wipe over your head only. Also there is a hadith مسح على العمامة فقط you wipe over the turban that's it nothing else the third مسح على جزء من الرأس والعمامة you wipe over part of the head and the عمامة three ways came قال إمام أحمد رحمه الله and all of them are sunnah all of them are sunnah بل قال عمر رضي الله عنه من لا يرى المسح على العمامة مطهرة فلا طهره الله Umar رضي الله عنه said, if you don't see wiping over the imama is enough to purify you, may Allah never purify you. It's a very strong word, but that's an expression in Arabic. I have this problem sometimes with my family. They don't understand me. In Arabic, it's in the Arabic culture. It's a bad thing. It's not a good thing, but that's it. What it is. You made a dua, and it's not meant as a dua. Exactly. ثكيلتك أمك. It's a way the Arab walk. He will say statement. It sounds like I'm making dua against you, but I don't mean it. Okay. So that's the language. Sometimes it's like that. Anyway, and it's a bad thing. It should be a change, in my opinion. Anyway, so here when Umar radiallahu anhu said, may Allah never purify you, don't take it literally, yani. Just it means he's angry at those who don't accept wiping over the imam. Yani, if Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give the permission and said that's sufficient, how come you come and say, oh, it's not sufficient? It's not acceptable from someone to make that claim. وثبت بالمسح عن الإمامة عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن عثمان وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص وعن أبي موسى الأشعري بل وشدد فيه It came from a great number of companions to wipe over the إمامة only without anything. Okay? So, and also been narrated from a large number of the تابعين that they took that position. And it is the position of Imam Ahmad and Imam Ishaq ibn Rahaway and Fuqaha'u Ahli al-Hadith, the scholar of Hadith. In the other hand, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah wa al-Imam al-Shafi'i wa al-Imam Malik and a group of scholars, they said, Nusib hada aydan ila Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. That they said you must to wipe over your hair and the imam, but not the imam only, not the turban only. And I do believe that the ahadith are authentic, the narration from the sahaba are overwhelming, and the tabi'in of it is of wiping over the turban without the hair. That's why I do believe that is sufficient. And by the way, الفقهاء رحمهم الله يقولون باب المسح على الجورب. That's right, wiping over socks. لكن also you find some of the فقهاء say قال باب المسح على الجوارب على الحوائل. They said wiping over الحوائل. الحوائل plural, the single is حائل, which it means فاصل, which it means barriers, to wipe over any barriers. So the fuqaha use a very general term, it's called barriers. Anything that is basically separate fasa, you from the part of your body that it must be wiped, it's called ha'il or barrier. So the socks is what? A barrier. The shoes is what? Barrier. So that's why they didn't use khuffain. Basically, khuff refer to a very specific, which is a leather material barrier, which is the shoes today. But in the Sunnah, 18 Sahabi, and we're going to come to that, reported wiping over socks, not over leather. Cloth, which is the socks. تجد أيضا المسح على الجرانق والمسح على الجرموق. It means a short type. الخف is like a boot. Go cover يعني high into your shin or your legs, like a boot. But الجرموق أو الجرموق, it is basically the short one that barely reach your ankle. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم give the permission to wipe over what? العصائب والعمائم, the thing that you tie above your head. Also, you wipe over what? Bandage, which is, we call it what? في العربية, المسح على الجورب والمسح على الخف والمسح على الجبيرة. الجبيرة, which is any bandage that you put in your body. So any barrier, you're allowed to wipe over it. That's why العلماء رحمهم الله said, if this is the case, wiping over the imama should be acceptable because it's between you and what? And the head. So you can wipe over it like the same way you wipe over the side. Taking in consideration that most of the ahadith that mention wipe over the imama came alongside with what? The khuf, the shoes. Do I need to wipe over part of my feet when I wipe over my socks? No. So the same thing for the hair. Huh? The sleeves. No, the sleeves it has to be removed. It's removable. But there is hardship in removing the socks, hardship in removing the shoes, hardship in removing the imama. It is very hard for the person to take it. طيب, some of the fuqaha, rahimahum Allah, put conditions for wiping over the imama. What's the conditions? قالوا لابد أن تكون الإمامة محنكة. Some of the ulama said the imama must be تكون محنكة. What's محنكة? الإمامة يقول الأوزاعي هي تيجان العرب, يعني أهل السودان متوجين ما شاء الله. He's basically it is the crowns of the Arabs. Okay, this turban. And Uzay, you know, he's not Arab, and he used to love it and respect it so much, and he would never walk out of his house without it. You know, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, you honor the imam. Imam Malik كان عنده 200 imama, 200 imama. Imam Malik had 200 of them, not a couple of dozens, 200, and he wear it and colorful and very beautiful. Imam Malik هذا أبها لوحده رحمه الله. It's very very unique the way he dressed. He started his life poor, but later on he became wealthy, alhamdulillah. Anyway, going back to the point, the some of the imama, it basically they do it around the head to kum musmata. Musmata, it means you do it all the way, no tails. You just around. Very similar for those who knows the difference between the Arabs imamas. If you look at, for example, the Lebanese, they do this around, or the Palestinians, the Azhari in Palestine, they have the kufi, then they put around it basically a cloth, white cloth, and it became stuck like this around it. And now even they glue it together and you put it on it as one piece. But originally it wasn't, it's an imam around it. Okay, you got the picture? So that's musmata. That's how the kuffar used to wear their imama. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't like to imitate them. I build it up, then crush you guys. Sorry. Okay? I have a good news for you, but don't worry. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wear that type of imama anyway. But that was the people of Quraysh wear this a lot. And also, they used to wear the muhannaka. Al muhannaka, which it comes, has a one of the side goes from underneath the jar, تحت الحنك, and goes like this on the top, and they hold it. Usually they like this because they pull it up and it became like a mask. So you cover your face with it in the desert, or you want to hide your identity or anything like that. So that's some of the ulama said it has to be this type to wipe over it. Why? They said because if you do like this, it became tight, and if you move it around, you will destroy the whole thing. You start over again. But to be honest with you, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said this is no proof for that. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wear this imama and the other type of imamas as well. They call the other one musmata or sammah. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also liked to wear the imama with the aba, with a tail. And he used to put the tail, and one side will be long by itself. وَكَانْ يَجْعَلُهُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ Either from the back or in the front, بَيْنَ on his chest, صلى الله عليه وسلم, or between his shoulder from the back side. Is it sunnah to wear imama? No, it's a culture thing. So it's not like tomorrow everybody comes with imama and wearing it. You know, it is a culture. You can wear it and you can leave it. طيب. Here we're saying that the other condition they said, قالوا أن تلبس الإمامة على طهارة. They said one of the conditions that you have to put the imama after wudu to wipe over it, like the socks. But again, Ibn Hazm rahimahullah disagreed with that. And I agree with Ibn Hazm. You know, there is no proof to say that. There is no proof. طيب, what if someone said, Sheikh, why don't we make analogy on the wiping over the socks? The answer for this, we said, you can't make analogy on this. Why? Why? Because the establishment of wiping over the imama is not based on qiyas, is not based on analogy. It's based on nas, based on text. And the text said that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi wiped over his imama. And he never said, I made wudu before, I didn't made wudu before. He didn't tell the Sahaba, by the way, be careful, make sure that you have wudu before you put it on if you're going to wipe over it. He never said anything like that. وَعِندَنَا قَاعِدَةً. We have a rules. I want you to remember these rules. تَأْخِيرُ الْبَيَانِ عَنْ وَقْتِ الْحَاجَةِ لَا يَجُوزُ. If there is a need for explanation, and there is need of explanation, you're not allowed to delay the explanation. A rule of thumb in Sharia. If there is a need for explanation, you're not allowed to delay the explanation. Like, for example, you know, he come to me and ask me questions, Mu'adh. Okay? And I know that he needs this information. And I know I must tell him. I'm not allowed to hide it or to conceal it. I have to tell it to him. So if the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows that this ruling must be associating with wiping over the imam, has to be after making wudu, or has to be put in tahara first, he must have told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He must have delivered that clearly to the ummah. Since he never did that, that means it's not a condition. A third, they said that this imam must be something or whatever, your head, it doesn't need to be imama today, it can be anything you put. Whatever you put in your head, it must be done in a way that there is a hardship of removing it. It's not like Umar, for example, back there, has a baseball hat. He can take it off anytime and put it. Or somebody has a kufi, you know, you can take the kufi and make a wipe over your head. It has to be something that is a hardship of taking it. Can anybody think of an example of something hard to take it off? Huh? Hijab for women, very good. Khimar. The khimar for women. That's why Abu Musa al-Ash'ari allowed it. Al-Hasan al-Basri was asked about khimar for women. He said it's allowed for them. Ibn al-Mundhir reported that Umm Salama radiallahu anha approved wiping over the khimar for women. What else can be hardship to remove? Yalla ya ahal Colorado. Bandages. Yeah, that's obvious. That's why wiping over bandages. But something cloth, something like imama. Take the same rule of imama, of the turban. Huh? In cold weather, we don't know this in Texas, but in cold weather, sometimes you have this what? The ski mask. Okay? So you have a ski mask around you, and it has an opening here, but it's opening and put it and all the way cover the neck. That's right? That's very hard, especially in the winter, to take it out, especially if you're outside, to take it out because it's cold. So that you can wipe over it. Very good. Ahsan, jazakallah khair. Yes?
Does that cover your face?
No, your face has to wash it.
So you have to take it off?
No, it goes like this. And like this. Similar to it if you're diving. Yeah, I'm serious. A diving mask is also like this. Okay? And it's very, it's a job to take it off and to put it on. So you can wash your face and you just wipe over that leather above your head. It's coming. There is a hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like he said about the in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fi hadith, the next hadith, I think we're going to do this next week. But the next hadith is where in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kan alayhi jubbah dayiqah. He was wearing a coat. It's hard to pull his sleeve up. So what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam take it off? Okay, he took off his shirt, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, put it in his shoulder, and he said, give me the water. Then he washed his feet, then he put his Qamis and shirt back, because it was very hard for him to roll his sleeves up. So if it is hard, you have to do it. So basically diving now. Unless it's a thin one, the water can go through. So this is another example of something they can wipe over the head. So it has to be mashaqqa, it has to be hard to remove it. That's another condition that I agree with, and cover most of your head, basically. These are some of the rules and the conditions that the ulama rahimahullah talked about in regarding to the imama and wiping over it. Yes?
Should you say that the imama is independent of the socks? It's not, there's no qiyas there.
Mm-hmm.
When you do the bandage or the cast, which one do you make qiyas off, like the socks or
the imama? Oh, the bandage and the cast, the strong opinion that you do need to have tahara before it. Because, simple reason, because it's not an optional. It's not like you break your hand, then you tell the doctor, hey, wait, let me go make a then you can put a casket around my feet or my ankle or my hand. It's not an option. So that's why the condition of having tahara over the bandage is a condition that goes against the purpose of the legislation, which is taysir. Because the whole purpose is to make things easy. But if you put the condition, we make it hard. But it's not hard for you to make wudu before you put the socks. Yes?
What about people that wear a toupee?
What's toupee?
Like a fake hair toupee.
People wear a fake.
Like men that wear the
fake hair. It's a wig. If it's glued to the head and hard to remove it, you can wipe over it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Like in acting. It's like in acting, that's right. Like in acting, some people in acting, this became somebody actor, and he want to make wudu.
He's
Yeah. Is it allowed for someone to put a wig, for a man to put a fake hair? I need to think about it more. Yani, what come to my mind, as long as he does not deceiving anyone, and this is an artificial hair.
What do you mean by deceiving?
Like, for example, no, like he's proposing to a girl and he want to look like all young and like, you know, like deceiving her, you know. So proposing, then after the first shower, you know, he finds the whole reality coming out. That's what I meant by deceiving. But yeah, I don't know. I need to look into that more. Yeah, the wake, there is a khilaf between the fuqaha about the wake, if it's not from a human hair. There is a very strong debate between the fuqaha about the wake if it's not from a human hair. If it's a basically artificial. Some ulama would say if it looks like a hair, it's haram because it's the same concept. The only thing al-ulama rahimahullah allowed, it all goes back to what's the purpose behind why the Prophet ﷺ forbade such things. For example, the Shawafi' would say the reason for wig, it's haram, in najasa, is not the deceiving. Because they consider this hair of human being, the hair of human being, if it cut, it's najas. So you cannot attach it to the body. Otherwise, you have najasa on you. And you will have some of the fuqaha said, like the Hanabila said, it is the deceiving. Or taghir khalqillah, you're changing the position, the creation of Allah, and there is a deceiving in it. Then you have the Malikiya have another position. The Hanafi is like the whole four madahib have a little bit of debate. So it's not a black and white as some people think. That's why there is a lot of scholars said that artificial hair and, you know, synthetic hair basically will be allowed. I do, my position for women, I always say that if it is basically done for the husband, for the family, just for fun, it's allowed, as long as it's not real human hair. If it is with something very distinguished that is not real hair, like Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, kasuf, like some girls, they attach to their hair some threads and like, you know, wool threads and colorful ones, that's permissible. Sumunha qaramil in Arabic language. And if anything, some of the ahadith specifically mentioned, and the fuqaha mentioned one specific scenario, like woman will go underneath her hair and she puts something fake to make her hair look big. And it's actually, it's hollow, nothing behind that. It's just put a ball, you know, and make it look, to deceive people with, oh, I have a good hair, I have a better hair than others. They said it's not allowed. But is that can reach to the level of being haram and sin? One of us, we need more. I don't know about men specifically, but I will double check that. Yes. I don't believe it's najis. I believe the correct opinion is not najis. But I was just telling him how the position of the fuqaha is basically a variety of positions based on why. So those who based it on only najasa, they wouldn't see problem with anything as long as it's not human's hair. But I don't agree that human's hair is najis when it's cut off. I don't agree with that. Even though that's a very popular opinion, by the way, even some of the Hanabila we have, that they believe that. And that's become a problematic because, I don't know if you guys know that or not, sometimes they use Dr. Ishfaq, I don't know if you ever heard of that, but I heard that they mix bread with human hair. I heard that they basically, yeah, huh? No, not by mistake.
No, meaning
they accused them of that. There is a reason for it. They said it's like something to add to the dal. There is any benefit in human hair, Doctor? like there is any vitamins, anything like nutrition in it? It's a dead, that's right. I will, because I got questions about that, and even I know some of the du'at in America, once he made a big deal of this, Allah yaghfir li yarhamu, Dr. Ahmad Saqar, if you remember him, from California. He wrote about this, and he said people don't eat bread because they mix it with the dough, they mix it with hair, human hair, and I had to reply to this, and that this is about 12, 13 years, maybe 15 years ago. I basically made a comment on that. They said that's not true, and I mentioned that human hair, first of all, is not najis. But I was surprised to know that this is something even considered. Strange. They used to import them from India, at least a good hair.